And welcome. I'm Dr. Mona Kular, and this is To Immunity and Beyond. I'm a medically trained doctor and nutrition and health coach, and I love helping people find the very best version of themselves. This show is all about living well, feeling well, and most importantly, aging well. The immune system is essentially the body's wellness system, so by understanding and supporting it, we can all reach an optimal level of health. I'll be having conversations with a wide range of experts from around the world on all the areas that can support our immune system to help us live healthier for longer. Let's live life better. Hello and welcome to Immunity and Beyond. My guest this week is Antonia Harman, an energy healer and teacher. And we're talking about the place that stress and trauma have in the development of disease and illness. This is one to listen to with an open mind, and is a conversation that I hope you find as fascinating as I did. Hi, Antonia. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited for this conversation we're going to be having. Let's start by finding out a bit more about yourself. It'd be really good to know more about your background and how you got into energy healing, which is what you do now.
It was very unexpected. I did not expect to have this life. It wasn't where I was going at all. I was doing TV presenting and modelling. And I ended up doing a random healing course, which sort of someone said something and it resonated. And I said, if the money appears, then I'll do it. And it just did. And I just thought, you know what? I'll just do it. And I did a healing course. And then one of my dear friends had a problem with her eardrum. She burst her eardrum 5 times, and she was a stewardess of Virgin Atlantic. And it's very dangerous to fly if your eardrum isn't working properly. And she had such pain. It was comparable to childbirth through her ear. And it was two or three times a week, and she would just literally sort of fall on the ground and scream in agony. And, you know, it was just an appalling situation for her. It also meant that she kept on getting stuck in various different locations because she couldn't fly. So she would end up getting grounded in New York or various different places around the world, but she's not earning any money and she can't fly back and work as a stewardess on the way back. The whole thing was destroying her career completely. Anyway, so I'm walking down the street with her. No, so she went to the doctor, the specialist and the surgeon. And they said, look, it's £4,500 to have the surgery, and there's only a 50% chance of it working. They didn't really know what was going on with her, and they were going to try their best. And the only way to do it is to really open her up and see what's going on and fix what they were able to fix. So, you know, perfectly reasonable thing for them to have said. Anyway, I'm walking down the street with her, and she falls on the ground in Notting Hill and starts screaming, going, ah, my ear, help me, fix my ear. And I went, what? You're a healer now. And I said, I've done a 5-day workshop. I'm not even sure if I believe this stuff. It's really weird. She was like, you're a healer now. Just help me. Just try. And I was like, do what? Anyway, so we went to the Loser restaurant, and I put my hands on her ears and I started channeling energy. And to my utter surprise and disbelief, still to this day, I started pulling something out of her ear. I was channeling energy and I was feeding this thing. It was coming out of her ear. And I didn't know what the hell was going on. And it looked like a snake in heat waves. And I was feeding it out, and it was about 1.5 feet long. And it was like quite wide, but it looked like a snake. I pulled it out, and it was wriggling and writhing around on the ground. And I threw some energy at it, boom, and it disappeared. And then she said, do the other side. And I did the other side, and the same thing happened. It was smaller, 6 to 9 inches long, came out thinner, younger. And same thing, threw some energy at it. And that was in 2007. And she's never had earache since. She cancelled her surgery. And that changed the trajectory of my life. In that moment, it was my epiphany moment. I just suddenly went, holy moly. I can't imagine anything more interesting, more worthy, more important to devote my life towards. And I've spent the last 15 or so years figuring out how to dissolve diseases. And I've got quite good at it. So, yeah.
That is a phenomenal story.
Good start, isn't it?
Did you worry after that first time that you might not be able to replicate that or do it again? Or did you feel quite confident? Was it something that you suddenly felt like it was way above you?
It was way above my station. I was really reaching. I've just spent years trying to figure out how to do it and what to do. And to get consistent results. I'm all about consistency. I think if something isn't consistent, you're not good enough at it.
Yeah.
So I've been working for years and years tirelessly to figure out how to do these things and to do them consistently. You know, and initially I had this idea that I'd be able to dissolve traumas. And then I was saying it to people around me who all thought I was completely bark-raving mad. Yeah. And I was able to do it quite quickly. And now I can, dissolving traumas in a trice. I do it all the time. I mean, I was at a party yesterday and I dissolved five people's traumas simultaneously. And some of them were pretty big traumas. I can do all that sort of stuff very easily now on multiple people.
So this started with this 5-day course that you did sort of just on a whim almost. And as you were doing the course, did you feel at the time that it was a sort of revelation for you or that you connected to it in a special way or anything like that?
Nope. I was living a very different world and I just was like, who are these people? What is this stuff? It was just really, really weird to me.
Yeah.
I felt energy moving around, but I just had no idea what was really going on. Yeah. No, it was completely out of the blue. It was a total, you know, different direction my life went into. Was not expecting.
How did you know what to do next then? So after you had healed your friend,
yeah,
how did you know how to expand on that? Where to look, what to do, what to learn more about, how to practice it?
I just geeked out. I just geeked out and learned lots of things. But I also, so I've had a lot of weird last 15 years because what I do isn't just from books. So I've created my own healing lineage called Divine Empowerment. and it's about empowering your divinely, which is why it's got that name. But I've awoken my energy system. And I spent a lot of the last 15 years in a trance state, which sounds really odd, but basically so tired and like not in this dimension and delirious to the point where I can't focus and do anything. Like I couldn't leave my bed sometimes for days or weeks at a time, or I'd have to go and make myself a cup of tea. I'd have to crawl and then shimmy down the stairs on my bum, crawl into the kitchen, put the kettle on and collapse and then wait for the kettle to boil. I was barely able to feed myself. And yet, so then people could say, oh, you have chronic fatigue or some sort of tired-based disease, which would be easy enough to assume. But if I had something to do, like it was my mum's birthday or someone special to go, I'd be full of beans and be able to do it. So that's a luxury that people with these diseases unfortunately don't have. So I knew that I could just feel this energy and it was awakening my system, because what I do is something called higher level magic. Now, this is not a judgment on anything. It's an ancient mystery school's term, and it sometimes upsets people because it looks like I'm trying to be above people, but it's called higher level magic and lower level magic. That's the name. Lower level magic would be everything that you're familiar with. All the beautiful healing arts that you may know, like Reiki, or angelic work, or Wiccan, or shamanism, or even Western or allopathic medicine. It's something called lower level magic. You're using an intermediary to help you do the work. Maybe it's a symbol, maybe it's a sign, maybe it's a being, a pill, a potion, the coven, whatever it is, a spell. You're using something to channel to achieve your goals. I do something totally different, which is higher level magic, which is awakening your energy system. So I believe we're all gods and goddesses. I have no idea how frigging awesome we are. So that's what I think. So I spent the last 15 years awakening my energy system, and now I can do some really cool stuff. So it's a wizard school. I have a wizard school, and I teach really interesting things. Like, I mean, I like to make things fun. So one of the extra energies that I teach at my level one is how to change the taste of wine using energy. So you can I like red wine for this. It's the best because it can make it so different, because obviously it changes when you open the bottle. But you can start with like a Malbec and make it into like a Pinot Noir, which is very light, versus a Barolo, which is very heavy. And you have three glasses and they taste like entirely different wines. Level two, I teach spoon bending just as an extra little party trick, because I like party tricks. Because it's magic. It really is magic. I just like the Arthur C. Clarke quote, which says any sufficiently advanced form of technology is indistinguishable from magic. So that's basically what we're doing. It's just our own technology within us, and we've got abilities that we have no idea we've got, and I've just, you know, figured out what some of them are.
Yeah. So as well as seeing people to help them, you also teach what you know to others so that they can do the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm working my level 8 at the moment, which I'm going to be teaching later on this year. Yeah. But yeah, and then they can do these healings and it works first time every time, especially the emotional stuff. Emotional healing is much easier than physical healing, but we are getting quite good at the physical stuff now too.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about emotion and trauma. You mentioned trauma as well, and how, you know, how they could be at the root of some, if not all, disease processes.
Yes, it's the root of disease. All right, I'll tell you what disease is. I will go into that because that's, I have a grand theory of disease. So I'm going to share with you my grand theory of disease. Right. In short, disease is frozen trauma. That's my tagline for it. Disease is frozen trauma. And on my Instagram, I've got that with like a nice little iceberg so to show it. But disease is frozen trauma. Basically, what happens is, let's look at what a gas and a liquid and a solid are. So if you've got steam, and it's, and it, what's steam doing? It's moving around. So a gas is jutting around, you know, it's just moving around very fast. Whereas a liquid is sort of wobbling on the spot, and then a solid is vibrating where it is, right? If you remember that. And if you, if from, from your chemistry, physics from school, but if you have enough steam and you keep putting it into a finite space and keep putting it, it eventually will run out of space and become a liquid. And if you keep doing that more and more and more, it will become a solid, right? So it's to do with space and it's to do with heat. That's the difference really between a gas, a liquid and a solid. So now we've got that physics out of the way, I'll tell you what disease is because it relates. When you get fixated on something, no matter what it is, that is creating a gas. So you know when you hang around somebody who's sad or angry or upset, you spend 2 seconds with them, you immediately know they're sad or angry or upset. You walk into a room after an argument and you can immediately feel it. You can cut the atmosphere with a knife. Or if, even if your friend got laid last night, you can feel it. You can just see them and you just know it, right? That means emotion is energy. Look at the word emotion, emotion or energy in motion. But it's in their field. It's like they smell of it. It's like a gas hanging around them, right? So thoughts are gas. That's the first thing we need to know. So when you get fixated on something, I'm just going to say grief because grief's a really obvious one.
Yeah.
Grief in Chinese medicine affects the lungs. Each of your major organs is related to a particular emotion. Grief is your lungs. So if you have loads of grief, that gas has to go somewhere, and it particularly will go towards your lungs because that's the resonance of grief. It has a particular place in the body, the lungs. If you get fixated and really, really stuck in your grief, then those thoughts go somewhere and they will go into your lungs, that gas into gas into gas into gas, and it will eventually go into a liquid in your lungs and make it harder to breathe. It literally makes it harder to breathe if you have a lot of grief. It's really interesting. When I clear grief from people, I ask them to hold their breath before we start and see how long they can hold their breath for. And then I clear their grief out of them and ask them to hold their breath again. And they often double how long they can. Yeah, they double it instantly. So it's really nice and very, you know, visceral. And you can really notice how it is. So that's what happens. So it will just become a liquid. And if you keep on fixated on whatever it might be, then it will become a solid eventually. And then you can get a cancer. So if you look at the diseases, a gas-based disease is a thought-based disease. A liquid-based disease is something like a chronic pain. Chronic pains move around the body. Sometimes they're a 10 out of 10. Sometimes they're a 2 out of 10. Sometimes they're here. Sometimes they're there. Like in a fibromyalgia, it moves around. Back pain is sometimes worse, especially when you've been triggered or upset about different things. Back pain is intrinsically about not feeling supported. There's more to it, but it's about not feeling supported. And then you've got something like a cyst. A cyst is an actual ball of fluid. Those are liquid-based diseases. And a cancer, a tumor is solid. If you press a tumor, it's hard as a rock. And it's just frozen thought. It's you getting fixated on thinking in a certain way. And that going somewhere and that having matter, your thoughts having matter, and enough of them will eventually condense and densify into something liquid or solid. So the way to dissolve diseases is to know what the thoughts are. I've got a textbook which tells me all of these, which is very useful. So we use the textbook and then we just dissolve the resonance. So you can read the passage and say, and everyone you ever read the passage to is like, oh my goodness, that's completely me. How did you know? And it freaks people out. And then you dissolve and you go through section by section and dissolve their resonance with it. So then they read it again, they don't care about it. And then that's the point of the disease. If there's no resonance, then the disease falls away. It just drops out of people. So you can dissolve diseases. I was working on someone on Friday who had thyroid issues, and we went through the thyroid. When did I work on her? On Friday. Yeah. We did the thyroid issues and we cleared all the resonance with this stuff with the thyroid. And then she'd forgot to take her thyroid meds this morning. And I said, well, how has your energy been over? Because the main symptom is low energy. How's your energy been over the weekend? She said, it's been very, very good. And she even forgot to take her thyroid medicine this morning because there was just no resonance with it. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we need to see over a bit of time, but it looks like her thyroid issues have just gone. Like, a lot of diseases can just drop away when you clear the resonance for them. That's how you cure diseases.
It's mind-blowing, really, isn't it?
It makes sense, though. I mean, the science of it, it's so obvious. And that means it's true. But also, think about this. People don't know this. What happens when you lose weight? I always assumed it came out as sweat, as pee, as poo. You know, it comes out in bodily liquids. It doesn't. The new science on how you lose weight is the fat, it gets metabolized with the ketones and ketosis, but it goes through the liver and then it goes into the bloodstream and then it comes out as CO2. It goes from a solid to a liquid to a gas.
Yeah.
Everything that's ever been created goes from a gas to a liquid to a solid, or a solid to a liquid to a gas. Look at my pen here. So someone thought, I'm going to make a pen. I'm going to make a pen that looks like this. So they were thinking about it. Thinking is gas. And then they design it. They designed it somehow. Maybe they drew it on a computer screen. A computer is a liquid screen. Or they drew it with a pen, and a pen is a liquid onto a solid. And then they made it into a solid because they actually manifest it in this way. Everything that was created, and if you believe the creation story from God, same ruddy thing.
Yeah.
And then you've got the other way as well. So think about Prozac, which is one of the best-selling medications on the market. It's an antidepressant mood stabilizer. The point is to make you not to go too high and not go too low, so you have sort of a moderate level of moods. So what happens is they give you a pill, which is a solid, which then goes into your bloodstream and affects the hormones, which then changes your thoughts. Solid, liquid, gas. Everything goes from a gas to a liquid to a solid. So that is just basic manifesting. We are manifesting our own diseases. So what we need to do is notice when we get fixated on a particular thought, because that fixation, it's like doing a vision board. You are actually manifesting whatever it is. Whatever your fixation is your manifestation, and your disease will show up to do that. Once those thoughts go, there is no purpose to it. It's just showing you a physical manifestation of your thoughts. That's what diseases are. And if we can change that around, then diseases just fall out.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
Did it take you a while to get your head around all of this? As in...
15 years, darling.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of believing it, or did that happen quite quickly for you, that bit?
I mean, you have these epiphanies. You just have these eureka moments, and then you're just like, oh my God, it's just that. And then you sit there going, can it be that? Is it that simple? And then you start proving it. And you start, you know, I forget the name. There's a term in science, which is if something is proved loads of different times in loads of different ways, then it becomes more and more valid as a scientific concept.
Yeah.
And I keep proving it to myself and to other people. And then the fact that I'm actually reversing these diseases, and diseases are dropping out of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a group healing a few weeks ago, and I was working on 10 people simultaneously. It's on my YouTube. It was absolutely fascinating. One of these, a lady in there just suddenly, I turned everyone's mics off. And then she just suddenly went, wow, oh my God, wow. And I just said, hi, what's your name? And you know, what's happened? So she just said, my name's Karen, and my pain's gone. And I said, what do you mean? And she said she had polycystic ovaries, endometriosis. She's actually got a number of different diseases. But her pain from those two, which was underneath her ribs, completely vanished. And I spoke to her afterwards and her depression. Three things dropped out of her whilst I was working on 10 other people simultaneously. And I spoke to her on Friday and it's 3 weeks later and it's still gone.
It's just, it is mind blowing. I have to be honest, I come from a traditional medical background. You know, I'm traditionally trained as a doctor and that's how I've worked for most of my life. And it's probably only in more recent years that I've been much more open to the idea that actually, not even the idea, the knowledge that disease is not just due to physical things. It's actually also to do with our environment and how we think and what we believe and how we feel and the thought processes we have. And I read When the Body Says No by Gabor Maté. I don't know if you've read that
one. I've not read that one, no.
And he talks very much about trauma, addiction and stress and the manifestation of those in people as chronic fatigue syndrome or MS or other autoimmune diseases and even cancer. And, you know, he puts scientific mechanisms behind those things, but the point is that there appears to be connections. And it's something that I think we need to get people to be more open to considering, actually.
Yeah.
Because it could give us so many more treatment modalities for people, couldn't it? Rather than pigeonholing everything into these very traditional boxes, it gives you these other avenues to explore. So do you find people come to you when they have already tried various other things?
Oh, I'm the last resort.
Yeah. Because it's not something that's particularly well known or evidence-based or believed in really widely at the moment, is it?
I mean, yeah, it's irritating that, but that's why I'm here and doing radio interviews and I've got a PR and I'm doing loads of press and, you know, that's what we're trying to do is bring this out, this knowledge out into the world because no one knows about it. And because it's new, I've literally come up with these strange concepts and it's different from other energy healing modalities which are out there because it's consistent. You know, there are amazing, amazing healing modalities, but I want to get in there, fix something and get out.
Yeah.
I want to do it consistently. I'm not really interested in it not working every time. I'm just not. So it has to be good enough to take to market because it's so open to be scrutinized because it's so different.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, then people can easily call you a charlatan and all the rest of it. So it needs to have a really, really good batting average. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, it's just not something you take to market. So I've spent years, you know, developing these things before I even went to market with things because you just can't have inconsistent results. It's just not acceptable.
Yeah.
So, but now we're bringing it into the world. But yeah, we're just bringing all these informations out into the world, and I'm, you know, growing. I've got, you know, 50 practitioners now who can do the stuff that I'm doing. That's all. They're available on my website as well. So I'm just sort of setting up the infrastructure for that, and then hopefully going to go much more public very soon when everything's organized because it's consistent. I mean, we had, for example, we had a level two class. Last May, we had a student who had 27 years of depression. Now, with 27 years of depression, obviously you go to every doctor, psychologist, psychiatrist, take every pill, do everything you possibly can, because that's just the whole of his adult life, bless him. You know, that's just a terrible, terrible situation. Anyway, so in a level two class, I said to, should we clear Martin's depression? So you clear Martin's depression, not me, you. And I said, Martin, you're up for it. And he said, well, yes, but how? And everyone went, what are you talking about, Antonio? And I went, all right, well, you're going to do your same techniques and you're going to work on Martin. Is everyone up for it? And they were like, there's no way. And I went, all right, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We're just playing. If it doesn't work, no problem. I like to have the attitude of, you know, being able to fail. It's okay to fail. Yeah. You know, and that's how you learn. We have the thing like where we, like adults, don't feel it's okay to fail. And so they never really put themselves out there a lot. Children are much better at it. Anyway, so I said, fine, if we fail, we fail. It doesn't matter. The worst thing that can happen is nothing. That's literally the results that I have. The worst thing that can happen is nothing. That's why everyone should try it. If it doesn't work, so what? If it does work, wow.
There's nothing to lose, is it? And there's no harm done. It's not like you're giving somebody a drug that could have a terrible side effect or.
Dangerous
things.
Yeah, I've got the tagline, there's nothing to lose apart from your pain. I like that one as well. But anyway, so we're working on Martin. So I said, okay, work on Martin. And then after less than 10 minutes, I said, that looks like it's gone to me. And everybody went, and I said, Martin, how do you feel? He went, the emptiness is gone and I feel cheerful. When was the last time you felt cheerful, Martin? He said, about 5 months ago, but I had some beers. When was the last time you felt cheerful without alcohol? And he said, I don't know, but it's been years. That was May last year. He has not had a whisper of depression since. That's some level two students.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So these results are very quick then. It's not that you're taking months and years to work on people. Results. And do you find that they either happen fairly quickly or they don't? Does that make sense?
Or
like, how do you know if you need to keep working on somebody or if it's just not going to happen for them?
Resonance. Yeah. Resonance. If they have a resonance in the disease, then there's more to be done. If there's no resonance in the disease, there's no more to be done. I was teaching at the weekend, and we were teaching level five, and one of the students had a slipped disc. And we worked and we did all the different techniques and cleared all the resonance from it. And then it was really interesting because I thought everything was done. And then I sent in the page from the book and I said, check at the end. Sometimes it takes a minute for it to clear. Sometimes, you know, it might take like an hour. But yeah. So, and I said, just check at the end of lunch, reread this text and see if there's any resonance or something still there. And he came back and said, there is something. And I said, don't worry about what it is. Okay, team, you clear that. And then that meant that his pain went down to a zero and it looks like it got fixed potentially. Yeah.
Incredible. So if we talk about, we've talked about trauma, and what is trauma? What are we talking about here? People know about stress. I think they understand the concept of stress to a degree, although I think there's a lot people don't understand about stress still. But what are we talking about when we talk about trauma and stress? How do they overlap? How are they different? What leads into the other, etc.?
So trauma is something bad that happens to you, basically. So, you know, it could be a physical trauma, it could be a mental trauma, it could be a fight with somebody, it could be seeing something horrible or being a part of, you know, being a part of something, but it's something you can't really get out of your head.
Okay.
And you get fixated on. I mean, you can have a trauma that you get out of your head, and that's absolutely fine. If you can let it go, if you can forgive, then fine, you're perfect. That's why forgiveness is such a big important factor in every single religion. Forgiveness is key. If you can forgive it, then you don't develop a disease. If you don't, and you get fixated on it, and you just, that thing runs wild in your head, and you keep getting upset about it and going on about it, you know, either externally or internally, that's when you get to stress, and that's when you get into difficult situations, and that's when you can start to build a disease for yourself. So, and then trauma causes stress because, you know, if something awful happens to you, maybe there was some sexual assault that happened years ago. Unfortunately, until that's really forgiven and let go of entirely, it's still going to interfere in your life. Even if it's in your subconscious, you might be getting into an Uber and you suddenly go, oh my goodness, you know, what if something like that happens again? It can actually make you very cautious in your life and, you know, and not living fully. And maybe your relationship with your boyfriend or husband is a bit guarded because of this awful experience that you've had in your life. It can really change who you are as a person by having some terrible, terrible experience. And that's really sad, but it causes stress. That will cause that stress. So when you're nervous about various different things because of that terrible, terrible situation. So it means you're not as free. It means you're not as open. It means you're just not living as fully because of some awful night that happened many moons ago. So what we want to do is clear that. I often work on victims of these sorts of situations. And just what we do is I dissolve the attachment to it. So the Buddhists would call it non-attachment, but basically I dissolve the energy associated with it. So they're going to think about the situation, allow themselves to sort of play it out like a movie montage, play the whole scene out in their mind. And they think about whatever might have happened to them, not just that situation, but any situation. And then I clear the resonance from it, I clear the energy which is stagnated around it. And then they think about it and it becomes factual. That happened, but it no longer owns them. They no longer react to it. It's just non-attachment. Then they think about it and it just becomes factual, or like it happened to somebody else. So it doesn't resonate with them anymore. Mm-hmm. And once you clear that, then it no longer is in the back of their mind or their subconscious and affecting their behavior and causing them stress. But stress is also, you know, any type of stress will aid you. Any type of stress, because you've got the two different types of your nervous system, your sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. When you're stressed, what happens is the energy goes to your arms and your legs to get away from that tiger. as opposed to being in your trunk and being in your brain doesn't work as well. You become, you know, less intelligent because you become more instinct based, but you're not digesting your sandwich. You're not doing all the making new cells and doing all the regenerative work you're supposed to be doing because you're just ready to fight or flight. And you're not doing the rest and digest, which is the other side of it, when your parasympathetic nervous system. So anytime you're stressed and not getting out of the stress, then that's what's aging, and that's what's actually sort of decaying our bodies internally. Because what we're supposed to do is have that stress situation, and then, you know, we got away from the tiger, thank goodness. And then we, like animals, will go and shake at a watering hole and adrenaline will be coming out of them. We don't like doing that. We give people sweet tea to stop the adrenaline coming out of people. They want to shake. It's better that it comes out. And then what happens is, for us, for humans, the tiger never comes and the tiger never goes, because there are so many pressures. You've got kids, you've got deadlines, you've got all these other things, and people are living in a constant state of stress, which is aging them massively, because the body's just not doing the rejuvenating, and then that can lead on to any disease. Stress is the fundamental cause of diseases, but it's trauma related to stress and that fixation on whatever might have happened.
So these things can also happen then without a definitive trauma in the past. It could just be chronic stress over a lifetime that could lead to the same sort of thing.
Yeah, but there's normally something, it's about something. Okay. Maybe your parents were neglecting, or maybe, you know, various different things. If you're super happy and you are actually from your heart happy, not playing a role of being happy,
yeah,
it's quite difficult to get sick. You'll know this. Like, happy people rarely get colds and flus and whatever it is. They don't tend to get sick. I mean, a lot of people are on the surface saying that they're very happy, but they've got a lot of resentment.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a common thing that people have, but they don't necessarily explain it or deal with it. They just, it's sweeping stuff under the rug is the problem. You know, it's you just literally going, okay, I'm not going to deal with that. Put it there, put it there, put it there, put it there. That's what's going to cause diseases.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
How can people start to understand or know if they're carrying trauma, carrying stress, carrying something that could end up manifesting in something? I mean, how are there early signs? Are there ways people might start to realize this before it sort of develops into something for them, do you think? Would you know?
Sure. It's what happens when you go to bed at night. When the world stops, do you sit there and obsess about so-and-so doing something to you, or you doing something to somebody else? If you sit there and you find it difficult to sleep at night because you're worried about something, behaviors in some way, then that is a good sign that you are building that, because those thoughts go somewhere. Thoughts have matter. It's gas, and it will become disease unless you let it go. And you'll notice it will be the same sort of thing that keeps happening to you. Maybe it's also the law of attraction. So the law of attraction is a really interesting one. I'm sure most people are familiar about the law of attraction, sort of what you're thinking about, you invite into your life, right? That's the sort of the basics of it. What people don't realize, and what's missed, and it irritates me, is the dark side of the law of attraction. Whatever is in your field, maybe there was infidelity in your home growing up, for example. If you haven't let that go, and if it's still in your field, you're still ordering it from the universe, because you haven't changed the instruction. So it's like going to a restaurant and wanting a steak for dinner. And instead of ordering the steak, you keep whispering chicken, chicken, chicken to the waiter. So he keeps bringing you chicken. So it keeps bringing you relationships with people who are going to be unfaithful towards you, because you've still got that in your field. So you're literally ordering it. Whatever is in your field, whatever you're thinking about is your order. And the universe brings you that. So you need to clear that and purge that out of your system. Otherwise, you're going to be attracting those same sort of situations ongoing. So it's really, really important to get these things purged out of you. I mean, if you, you know, obviously I can do it, but if you can really forgive these situations deeply, properly, and so there's no resonance anymore, you no longer care about it, you're just totally at peace with it, then you can do that. So peace is the absence of emotion. So peace, people don't know what peace is. Peace is empty. Peace is still water. If you're happy, it's animated. If you're sad, it's animated, but it's heavy, you know, but peace is empty. So when you can think about something and you have nothing happens, there is no fireworks, there are no emotions, you just no longer have a resonance to it. That's actually what peace is. It's void of emotion. So that's what you need to get to be able to, you know, really get over these things. It's real forgiveness.
How can people start to work towards this themselves? I mean, I feel that most people are quite scared to be with themselves. And we live in a life that's full of distraction, or very easy to be full of distraction. So you never have to face your thoughts, your fears, your feelings. You can always distract yourself with people or things or material possessions or alcohol or TV or, you know. And very rarely do people stop and take the time to just be with themselves, because it can be quite scary, actually. Yeah. Is that something that we should be encouraging people to try and do more of? Is that a good first step in addressing things that could be underlying?
Yeah, because if you don't, you're sweeping things under the rug, and you're digging your own grave. Yeah. Literally. I mean, it's a horrible thing to say, but it's literally what's happening. You need to know what you're fixated on. You know, are you still upset about an argument that you had, or, you know, or a breakup that you had years prior? And if you're still carrying that, you know, Buddha says, holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You know, that is what people are doing. You are holding on to situations and anger and frustrations from often decades ago. And we need to, I mean, like Elsa says, let it go. Otherwise, you're just taking your own life force. You really, really are. Yeah. So you have to confront these things, and it's not comfortable. You have to sit with yourself and go, right, what am I still holding on to? What am I upset about? How am I behaving? And you'll notice when you get triggered, you know, when is it that you behave in a less than kind fashion? When aren't you nice? Yeah. And then if you, you know, and really, really like assessing yourself and auditing your behavior constantly and go, I was a bit of a so-and-so then.
Yeah.
Why was I a bit of a so-and-so? Why was I triggered? And sitting by yourself and unraveling why the heck you were triggered and why you didn't behave with grace and dignity, potentially. Why were you mean? Why were you difficult? Why were you being a brat? You know, and it's not very nice to think about, God, I was a bit of a brat then. And then you go, why was I a brat? And then you just try to go, oh, that's because of that. And that's because of that. And that's because of that. And really sitting with yourself and taking the time to really get to know you. Yeah. People don't get to know themselves, and they're so busy with so many other things. Which is why meditation is quite good. And what's going on in your brain when you're meditating? What are those thoughts that are coming through? And give yourself the time to notice what you are fixated upon. Yeah. And then, you know, seek to resolve it and forgive it and let it go and make amends. I mean, look at what they do in AA and, you know, the anonymous programs. You go and make amends. You go and apologize to everybody for your bad behavior. Like, doing that sort of stuff really brings you at peace with different situations. So you could, you know, follow that step is a good one. But you have to first notice and write down why you were doing that, what you actually did, and then go and, you know, apologize. Yeah. That's a really good way of doing it. I love that step in that program. It's a really nice thing to do.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be said as well for something you mentioned earlier, when people pretend to be a certain way or believe that they are, say, happy, for example, when actually they're not, and they're just plastering over their real emotions. And again, how do people who've sort of fooled themselves into thinking they're okay start to break those barriers down? What's a good first step for them? Because that's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. it's just being alone with your thoughts and to notice when you're not. It's the same thing. You know, you might, you know, there are so many people who are doing that. I've got one of my neighbors has got issues with her pancreas. And pancreas in Chinese medicine is about being bitter, lack of sweetness. And she's, you know, she's bitter about something. And so she's got pancreas problems, but she looks like she's a really happy person, but she's, and she won't admit it. But she, there was a situation that happened to her years ago and she's still resentful about it.
Yeah.
And she's not dealing with it. And she's not interested in my help. And so I can't really do anything about it, you know. But it will, you know, now she's having all these pancreas, she's got diabetes and she's got all these different problems as a result of it. So, you know, it will manifest if you don't really deal with it.
Yeah.
So it's noticing when, same thing, when you're just misbehaving, when you're a brat, you know, when you notice that, you know, are you truly happy? Or are you just putting this sort of Stepford Wives, you know, facade on? And then how are you when you're by yourself?
Yeah.
You know, do you cry? What makes you cry? I mean, there can be, you know, I think it's a lot of people have this sort of warrior mentality and they think that maybe it's weak to cry and you don't necessarily want to be crying all the time, but you know, you shouldn't be ignoring everything that's going on with you. And there are, you know, reasonable times to be crying and to be upset. And if you just ignore it and sweep that under the rug, you are setting yourself up for pain.
Yeah, yeah. So you've mentioned a few different physical things just over the conversation. You've mentioned mm-hmm. thyroid, diabetes, pancreas problems, mm-hmm. ear issues. Do people come with you with a whole scope of things? I mean, what's the most unusual or is it literally anything and everything? I mean, do people come to you when they've got cancer, for example, or?
Cancer I've not done much with. One of my students is actually a doctor in the Netherlands, and she's been working on someone with cancer. And very interestingly, her tumour is becoming liquid. It's squishy.
Okay.
And it's really nice that I've got a doctor working on that because actually, you know, she can assist, she's still got her license, she's a medical doctor. And it's really nice to see because they're actually monitoring, it's getting smaller, it's getting softer. I've not done much because solid-based diseases are the hardest ones to work on. I'm very good at the liquid-based diseases and I'm very good at the gas-based diseases and I'm getting into the solid-based diseases, but I haven't had that. I just haven't seen that many clients with it. Yeah. And I like to win, and I don't know that I can do that one at the moment. I know that I can do the other ones, but I'm sure the right patients will be coming to me imminently. And it's always worth a go because yeah. the worst thing that can happen is nothing. Yeah. So I'm sort of heading in that direction, but I'm not necessarily fully there yet.
Yeah. And do you find that some things respond better than others? Some things are easier for you to treat than other things, for example?
Liquid-based diseases and gas-based diseases.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the liquid-based disease is. I mean, the one with me, the reason I got into the liquid-based disease was because I managed to get myself an ovarian cyst. And I didn't know what it was. And I had loads of pain during sex and abdomen pain. I didn't know what it was. And I thought it was because I had a trapeze injury. But that was something different. But I had this pain. And then I got a scan and it was an ovarian cyst. And then I looked in my trusty textbook about what an ovarian cyst was. And it was actually exactly what was going on in my relationship. And then I was like, holy moly, this is exactly accurate. My goodness, it was a real... I've read the book thousands of times to different people. It's never resonated for me because I don't get sick. So I read the book and I was like, goodness, that's exactly what's going on. And then I cleared the resonance. And then within 3 days, I felt the pain just went. I knew it went because the pain went and then I felt it pop and then the whole thing was gone. And then I had a scan 5 weeks later and then there's no trace of it.
Amazing. Just amazing. So, Antonia, you work yourself seeing clients, but then you're also training up and have trained up other practitioners. And are they all over the place then? You mentioned this doctor in the Netherlands. So are they in all kinds of different places?
Yeah, Israel, a load of Germans, Austria, Netherlands, yeah. in France. I've got some French people. They're not actually in France. But yeah, I've got. Yeah, because I do everything online. It's just as easy being anywhere. I've got a number of Americans actually as well.
Yeah,
everything, all the courses are online and a Canadian. we do everything online. So, I mean, it's a bit annoying for them, the time zone wise, but they have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, so what?
Yeah.
And then they come and hang out there more and more.
And do you see patients or clients virtually now as well? I mean, did that happen because of the pandemic, or did you see that anyway? Because are people consulting you from all over the place?
I've always seen people online. I was always teaching online. What I was doing prior to the pandemic is I was teaching online at the same time as teaching people in person. But I'm not really seeing anyone in person at the moment, even for teaching. Or I can, but I'm going to charge more for it because it's actually quite a lot more effort to be seeing people in person. I was doing it anyway. I've had, you know, my beautiful wall behind me. Yeah. So I'm not really seeing people in person anymore. And I'm going to be moving to Cornwall because everything's gone online now.
Yeah.
So I may as well be just anywhere in the world. It doesn't make any difference. The energy works exactly the same, whether I'm online or offline. Some people kind of like to be in person, but I don't really do it anymore. I don't mind doing it, but it's just more effort.
So it still works exactly the same virtually.
Yeah. Exactly the same. Makes absolutely no difference whatsoever.
Yeah. Antonia, I really enjoyed this conversation. It's been so fascinating and eye-opening. I mean, was there anything else you wanted to cover? I feel like we've gone over quite a bit, actually.
We've talked a lot. I don't know. Well, come on my courses. My next one I'm doing is on October the 2nd, one day. And in level one, you learn how to dissolve trauma, like solo trauma events.
So, Antonia, if people want to have a consultation with you or access your healing or one of your practitioners, where's the best place for them to find out more about you and your work and how to get in touch with you?
Sure. My website's divineempowerment.co.uk or .com. I'm both, actually. I've got my Instagram, Antonia_Harmon. I've got my YouTube, so you can see some videos on there, on my Instagram as well. Antonia Harmon, Divine Empowerment. And it just, I'm easy to find. You can just put Antonia Healer into Google and you find me really easily.
Brilliant.
So yeah, so you can book in, obviously, if you want to learn how to do these techniques yourself. So level one, I was just saying, so you learn how to use the big arrays, which is dissolving traumas. You learn how to change the taste of wine using magic. You learn instant meditation techniques and then some other fun little energies and some sort of your chakra system as well. So you can do all that. It's all in one day and you learn how to dissolve traumas in day one, which is pretty cool. And then you just get better and better as the classes proceed. But yeah, or I can do one-to-one sessions with people, or my practitioners can, or obviously study. To you, everyone you know.
So just out of interest, the courses that you do, like this level one, for example, can people do that to then use it on themselves, or does it only work to use on other people?
Either, same thing.
Okay, amazing.
So I get everyone to practice in class. They work on themselves, they work on somebody else as a partner. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I feel like we could carry on talking for hours, but we've run out of time. But it's been absolutely a really fascinating and incredible conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. And I really hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Do follow me on Instagram at @thehealthspandoctor for information on the show, as well as recipes and health and nutrition advice. Until next week, let's live life better.